Polly on the egg.
They told me they were going to have a guest musician today.
That was unexpected kindness.
That was unexpected.
It was unexpected kindness.
It was unexpected kindness, it was. I helped tune the egg before she played the... Well, we have several scripture readings here this morning. I'm going to share the first four, and then Polly will share the fifth one. They were selected because they kind of go with the theme of mercy, compassion, and then also how these can not only be good things to be given to others, but the very means of grace for God to give us something as well. So the first one is from Proverbs chapter 22, verse 9. Those who are generous are blessed, for they share their bread with the poor. From Isaiah chapter 58, verse 10. If you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness, and your gloom be like the noonday. And in the New Testament, from the Epistle of Hebrews, 13th chapter, verse 3. Remember those who are in prison, as though you were in prison with them. And finally, from the Epistle of James, 2nd chapter, verses 15 through 16. If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm, and eat your fill, and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that?
And from Matthew's Gospel, the 25th chapter, verses 37 through 40. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when do we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. And this is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. I'm going to invite Otis Hardy up here to join me for a short little interview. Polly, if you give the microphone to Otis. Otis is going to come up here. Sometimes I think we learn best through stories. And when I think about acts of mercy, acts of compassion, I cannot help but think of Otis, Juanella, Tanya, some of the things that go on a daily basis. But I'm going to ask Otis to share three little stories. And the first story has to do, Otis, with the time that you said you found the teenagers who stole your van. What happened? What did you say to them? And what did you see as the reaction to those teenagers when you showed mercy?
Hey, man, that happened some time ago. My automobile was taken from me. And I didn't know what to do. I was completely lost. I called the police, and the police thought I was just making something up, really. And so, but some told me to drive into Raleigh and look for my van. So I went into Raleigh into projects, and here my van sitting right there in the projects, and there's four or five young boys around the van. And I walked up to them. I said, listen, I said, this is my van. And I said, I know you don't want to get in no trouble. And I heard my keys drop on the ground. So I talked to him and I said, now I'm going to call the police now. Let them know I found the car and all that. So they getting ready to take off. I said, no, don't leave. So when the police came, I told the police, I said, these young men here deserve a reward because they the one found my van. The police looked at me and said, yeah, all right, yeah. So that's how I got my van back, you know. So it was... And those same young men, I see them today. I always see every once in a while, they'll come to me and say, I remember that we had your van and you didn't call the police on us and you defended us. So Amen. An act of mercy.
Yes, that's just one story. Another one that comes to my mind is a story he shared before. And that has to do with the time that you have great discernment. You saw a woman and her children coming down the street, and the Lord prompted you to ask her what was wrong. And you found out, and then share with us what that was and what you did.
Well, you know, I was riding down the street near Bojangles on Newbern Avenue, and I saw this lady with three girls just walking down the street. And I pull over in the motor vehicle near the credit union. And I asked her, I said, Miss, I said, are you all right? There's a problem. She was crying. Her husband had dropped her off, husband or boyfriend, whatever. And they went in Bojangles to use the bathroom. While they was using the bathroom, he left. She didn't have no wallet. She didn't have nothing. Just walking down the street crying. I remember this day, she had on a long dress. And as she was walking, the dress was flopping all around. And you can tell that she was hurt and despondent. So I talked to her about it, and I found out that what had happened. So I came to the church. And I asked the church, would they help to get a room for the night? And they did. They got a room for the lady and her children, Red Roof Inn down there. And every so often I see this lady. We continue to go back to their home. That was the home that Lee Pearson and I went for the first time. And this lady says, we want to make you dinner. Now, they lived in a place that I didn't want to eat in, you know, with Frank. But yet Lee said, no, we're going to eat anyway. And I said, okay. So we went out and bought some plates and spoons, because she didn't have but two or three plates. And we enjoyed ourselves, and that was the memory that Lee always talked about. He always brought that up when he went out to visit. And we sit there and eat potato pie and fried chicken and all this kind of stuff. And so it was a blessing to me, and it was an honor. These same children Reverend Green has met. And these, Sister Polly, the little girl was so amazing. She said the Lord's Prayer. She always speak it in Hebrew. I don't understand how she learned this language, but she would say the Lord's Prayer in Hebrew. And that is, to me, it was an act of mercy and kindness for me to allow me to be able to be a part of those people's lives.
That was an amazing story of discernment and a merciful response that ultimately, because of Otis and Lee Pearson, led to the great ministry that we have in Southeast Raleigh called Bridge the Gap Ministry. Well, there's one more, and I'm going to set this up for you a little bit. Otis was sentenced to life in prison. Two life sentences in prison. And he was falsely arrested. It was not in any way a crime that was asking for something like that. But that's what he had. Ultimately, you know the story that he was pardoned by Governor Hunt. And then someone out of nowhere showed up to tell him she had served on that jury that had convicted him. And she wanted to say something to Otis. Otis, tell us about that.
Well, you know, Rubley didn't tell you that he showed up. I was working. Governor Hunt took me and brought me into his home in the governor's mansion. I had started school in prison about bacon. So he brought me into his home, and that's where I met Reverend Green. He came looking for me. Never met me before, but he come looking for me. He was an act of kindness on his part that he showed mercy to me, because I'm in a difficult position. Many people wouldn't even associate with me. But yet he came and visited me. And Governor Hunt used to always ask me, what in the world did the judge had against you? You know, robbery without a gun or something? Why did he do that to you? You know, all kind of stuff. But what happened is that when I was released, my wife and I, years later, we was in Johnson County working with the Gideons. And they asked us to come and speak, and we did. And there was a man there at the present. And he went back to his church in Burlington, North Carolina, and shared the story about this man that they had met, the story he had talked about. And the lady in the Sunday school class said, wait just a minute, I know that man. She was the man that testified against me and sent me to prison. And when I, and they invited me to come to the prison, which I had no knowledge of this lady. And when I came there, we spoke, and we came standing around talking, and the lady came up to me. She said, do you know me? I said, no, ma'am. She said, I'm the lady that testified against you and sent you to prison. She said, I just want to apologize to you. And she said, I remember your two little children. And she just took off. I was getting ready to put my thing into it. You know, I wanted to say something. But it was my humanness that was no good. This lady was free. And she made me free. When she came and spoke to me and shared with me, I became a free man. But most of all, she became free. And now she's passed away. So, and I thank God for her. I thank God for me. And I thank God for the merciful people. But it all started right here in this church. This is the only church that ever supported the ministry that we have. This is where it birthed out of here. So many good things that has happened is you have been responsible for it. You may not see it, but you are blessed because the things that you can't see will affect you more than what you will see. So I thank God for you, and I thank God for Reverend Green. And that day I met him, he became my pastor. And I tell everybody I meet, he's my pastor. So it's kind of odd places I go to, you know, white man pastor. You know,
well, we got a lot in common. We got a lot in common. You know, we go to the same barbershop.
But thank you all so much. God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you, Otis. Well, I'm talking about the acts of mercy and compassion, so I think we've gotten off to a good start with these stories. And these are just a few of the stories that happen on a daily basis in Southeast Raleigh because of Otis and his family and your support of that ministry and the support of Bridge the Gap ministry. When I say works of mercy and compassion, let me first of all talk about these two words and what they mean in this context. Mercy. Mercy is showing unexpected kindness, offering comfort or forgiveness, meeting the physical needs of people, which includes feeding the hungry, giving shelter and refuge to the homeless and the refugee, caring for the sick and the dying. It is caring for orphans and widows. That's how the Bible puts it. Visiting those in prison and reaching out to those whom society counts as outcasts. It is giving alms to the poor. It's another way that the Bible talks about it. Mercy. Now, compassion. Compassion is sharing in the suffering of others. Sympathy is being sorry for someone. Empathy, compassion, is actually your pain in me as I share it with you. Sharing the suffering of others, giving aid to relieve pain and distress. It is seeing persons as Jesus sees them. And in the scripture it says, Jesus looked out upon the multitudes and had compassion for them. The disciples probably scratched their heads and said, we don't understand it. He's always having that compassion for everybody. Doesn't he get tired of it? But if you read further, you'll see how Jesus was able to have compassion. It said, for he saw them as sheep without a shepherd. In other words, Jesus saw people in their needs. We can't feel what Jesus feels until we see what Jesus sees. Jesus sees people in their need. And so those are pretty good definitions of mercy and compassion. So works or acts of mercy and compassion are those things that we do, hopefully on an ongoing basis, both as individuals and as a community, and for us as a church. There are those things that we do to bring mercy and compassion to others. Now, the early Methodists, boy, they are our exemplary people because they took that seriously. When John Wesley started his movement of reformation in the church, reforming the church, organized small groups, and every small group had the duty each week to take up alms for the poor and to visit prisons. And when you became a Methodist preacher, it was expected that you visited the prisons every week. And that's just what they did, along with reading the Scripture, praying, taking communion, fasting, and some of these other things. You see, acts of mercy and compassion are different from the works of piety. You know, works of piety are good. Scripture reading, prayer, Holy Communion, fasting, all those things are good. But if the only thing we do are those things, we become spiritually bloated. Because there's no pouring out to others. And that's what the works and acts of mercy and compassion are. Now, when these early Methodists got together, John Wesley had a plan. He said, it's not just about holiness of heart, about us becoming holy. It's about us transforming society. There are things out there that are unjust that we have to address. We have to be about the holiness of life. God created life as good, but mankind's sin has marred it, scarred it, and there are people who are living in the results of sin to no fault of their own. At that particular time in England, little children went to work in factories. They'd work those little children just as hard as anybody else. Why? Because, well, they didn't have to pay them anything, hardly. John Wesley said, that's not fair. So they worked to enact the first child labor laws to go into effect. You can't do that to children. You can't make them work in factories like that. John Wesley said slavery was not right. To his dying day, he supported William Wilberforce, who ultimately was able to get the law passed in Parliament that slavery should be abolished. John Wesley and the Methodists took up what you might want to say, those social issues of his day, and they sought to do, first of all, no harm, and second of all, to do good. You know the three rules of the Methodists? Do no harm, do good, stay in love with God. And so he went around and organizing these groups to practice these things because there was a need in the world, but also because of what he saw happen when he went to the poor. When John Wesley went to the poor, he was changed. How was he changed? The kindness of the poor to John Wesley broke his heart. That they were the very ones who showed him Jesus. The ones he went to serve. The very ones in the coal mines at 5:30 in the morning. And so in reaching out to provide mercy and compassion to others, so much we've experienced, we came back with far more than we think we gave. That's the story of ASP. That's the story of people who go off on to Bosnia, to Bolivia, on mission trips. You go to do good for others and you come back and you go, I'm bringing back more of a blessing than I think I gave. What it is God's way of granting His grace to you. Just as much as if you were reading the Scripture, praying, fasting, or having Holy Communion. Those acts, those works of mercy and compassion. John Wesley looked out and he saw this abandoned cannon factory. It wasn't being used, so he bought it. Turned it into a medical dispensary for the poor and a house for elderly people who had no place to stay, including his own mother, and also a food pantry. He looked for opportunities to do things like that because he didn't separate the sacred from the secular. We're just going to do these things because they're spiritual things. Everything to John Wesley had to do with what God had created and what God wanted to redeem. And holiness of heart and life was what he was about. And so we know that, it's been attributed to John Wesley, but then, you know, you find out, we don't know if he said it. And then some people said, John Wesley never said this. I don't care whether he said it or not. Somebody said it. You know what it is? He lived it, whether or not he said it or not. And he showed it. Do all the good you can. By all the means you can. In all the ways you can. In all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, for as ever as long as you can. That's what the early Methodists were about. They really weren't known for things they were against. They were known by their love. They were known by their mercy. They were known by their compassion. When John Wesley died and they had his service, he didn't want to draw undue attention to himself, so he declared it should be very early in the morning to have his funeral. Some 25,000, 30,000 people showed up. And then they saw something amazing. The men who were carrying his coffin, they had come from prison. Who else recently have you heard something about this? Something like this. Dr. Billy Graham. His coffin was made by those in prison. It's said that many years later, someone was coming through a place and they said, you know, we hear that this place used to be full of problems. How can it be such a good place now to live? And they said, a man by the name of John Wesley passed by here and left a blessing. And so that's what we're called to do. Practicing the means of grace is very important. It's the way we grow in God's love. Every single one of these means of grace are important. But when it comes to acts of mercy and compassion, this is definitely something we can all do in our homes, in our neighborhoods, through our church, community, and in the world. Something we all can do. Even a little act of kindness. You never know. I try to come up with little things I can do. They're really little things. But somehow or another, when I do them, I bring an element of something into someone's life they weren't expecting. And in return, I'm put in touch with how much God has been merciful to me. And that's why we're merciful. Because first of all, God was merciful to us. Second of all, we don't really need mercy in the future. And third of all, showing mercy does good for us. Whenever I go to visit a hospital, before I leave, I love doing this. I'll go in the snack shop, you know, where they have snacks. I'll look around for some snacks. You know, try to get good snacks. Get them all in a little bag. And then I get out in my car. You're going out. You're getting ready to pay for your ticket. Well, since I'm a pastor, I get my ticket stamped. I don't have to pay for it. All I got to do is go by there. The man opens the thing and takes my ticket and you drive off. Well, when I go through there, the man goes, oh, have a nice day. He opens the gate for me and I look him in the eye or look her in the eye. I say, may you know God's kindness to you today. Here, enjoy this. Sometimes they won't hardly take it. They think it's a bomb or something. They open it up and they go, for me? I said, yeah. God's good all the time. And I drive off. It's just a little thing. I remember the day I was a little boy and I was coming home from a Durham Bulls baseball game. I'd walk to the Durham Bulls baseball game from where we lived on Gregson Street. I'd walk to the games, walk home from the games. Walking home from the games, my friends and I, we'd go through these neighborhoods. And they were, some of them were poor, but they weren't desperately poor, but they were lower-end poor. And there were some kids playing in the front yard, and they said, hey, join us for play. And I said, yeah, hey, let's join them for play. And then somebody's mother came out and said, all right, everybody in here now. They were having vacation Bible school in the home. And so my friend said, vacation Bible school? We don't belong to this. This isn't a church. What are they doing this for? And something told me, go in there. So I went in the house. And the lady said, now today we're going to have a little lesson, everybody, on how what Jesus would do if a guest was in your house. And she opened up the cupboard and there was these glasses and most of them were chipped and cracked and broken. And I went, good God Almighty. You know, We don't have anything like that in our cupboard. And then she found some juice. I don't know what kind of juice it was, but I was thirsty and I was interested in the juice. And she says, you know what? We're all going to have juice today, but first of all, we're going to serve our guest. And she pointed at me. And then she said, now children, which one of these glasses do you think we should use? There was only one glass in there that wasn't broken. They said, that one. She took out that glass, poured juice for me, and said, here. God bless you. And I drank it. I've never forgotten what it was like to be on the receiving end of that kind of kindness. Very rarely have I ever shared that story until now because it's come back into my memory. So what's our application? Twofold. First of all, we have just a couple of weeks until Easter. I would like for all of us for the remaining of Lent to go out of our way to support Bridge the Gap Ministries and Southeast Raleigh Ministries through Otis. I'd like for us to go out of the way to support this for what they are doing there on behalf of our church. And then I'd like for you to do this. I want you to look around in your neighborhood. I want you to look around in your neighborhood and find a need somewhere and do it anonymously. You know what one of our greatest hopes is? That we'll do something in secret that's really good, but get found out. Well, I want you to look around in your neighborhood and think of something that you can do. And I want you to do it. And I want you to do it not because you're going to get something back from that person, but because you're doing it to God. Because you know how much that mercy and compassion means to you. How much does God's mercy and compassion mean to you? We show it by what we do for others. Polly and I will be up front to pray with you about any need that you have this day. Let us stand.